want to do with you guys is just three or four exercises, improv exercises, that will end up being games, and I think you'll have a lot of fun. I just ask that you all participate. And one of the biggest tenets of improv is that old adage of yes and, right? Whatever anybody says, you say yes to it, you accept whatever they say, and you build on it, okay? So what is your name?
Sebastian.
So if Sebastian said to me, Mick, you know, the floor is water, even though it's not water, and I know that it's not water, if I go, no, it's not, Sebastian, it's wood, then the whole thing just fades away and there's nothing good there. But if I say yes to what he said, yes, the floor is water, and let's go swimming.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 328, our Reduced Workshops. In addition to performing our various shows around the world, we also teach theater workshops in association with the various venues we perform in. You heard RSE stalwart Mick Orff beginning an improv workshop in Hong Kong at the top of the podcast. And last weekend, Reed Martin, Dominic Conti, and I talked about the various workshops we like to do.
As a value-added feature, when you book the Reduced Shakespeare Company, we can subject your students, your adults, your children to workshops on clowning and physical comedy, improvisation, performing Shakespeare, auditioning, and baking.
And creation of new pieces.
And creation of new material. So hang on, this is a value-added thing. We're not getting paid for this?
Well, it depends on the venue. They probably have a mission statement as part of their...
Not-for-profit status?
Yeah, they're not-for-profit status, or even if they are for-profit, that they're trying to bring, you know, arts to the community. Mm-hmm. And so one way to get young people interested in the arts is to have them participate in it rather than just watching it.
Yeah, well, and I remember there was one brief shining moment when I was living in L.A. and you were living in you were briefly in L.A. too, and our TBS pilot looked like it was going to go, and it looked like we might both be in L.A. living in the same place for time, and there was some talk that, how cool would it be to open a Reduced theater and have our own little theater where our shows could run, and we could be teaching classes during the day, teaching all the skills that we value in the Reduced Shakespeare Company. And so we didn't end up opening that theater in LA. So this is kind of our way to begin training the next generation. We're one of the few companies, I think, that use this specific combination of genuine acting talent, vocal training, improvisation, physical comedy, clowning, dashes of musical theater. Have I missed anything?
Dashes of Shakespeare, depending on what the show is.
Well, yes, vocal training. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but performing, you know, heightened language.
Classical training, I guess, is the way to describe that. Yeah.
But we've led workshops. It has been all over the world. I mean, U.S., Canada, Ireland, England. I remember leading one in Hong Kong.
Right.
I remember going to the New Zealand School for the Arts and leading a workshop there. I remember leading a workshop of students in Ireland.
This is a thing we've been doing for years now here in the U.S. and, as you say, around the world. But in the U.K., we're about to start the tour of the Complete Works of William Shakespeare Bridge Revised, and we're going to be doing some of these workshops in the U.K. available in the various venues and cities that we're going to.
Yes. Dominic was just saying the students never come out of that not having a good time, or the students always come out of it having a good time. Most recently, I led one in Anchorage, Alaska, and I thought, and it's an audition workshop, and I said, great. And there were like six people there, and you show up, and I go, wow, I've got like an hour and a half, 2 hours. But you know what? They get a lot of personal attention. So if it's six people, they all get to go up, and we get to talk about their resumes, and they get to practice introducing themselves, and what's their experience.
And it's a range of experiences. Yeah. It's not just all kids.
And they also meet each other. These are people who are trying to get work in Alaska, so it's networking, and it's a great experience.
Dom, you were saying that you had a great experience.
I'll say they're all great in the same way, because Reed and I taught one. It's like I like teaching the creation of new works, and so we just mostly I spearhead those, in which we just have them create like a little mini play that's usually like in the 3 to 5 minute range as a beginning, middle, and end. We give them a couple of signposts that they have to follow, and then they have a great time making this play. And they realize that they're writer performers as well. And everyone can be and is.
Well, yeah, I mean, we all have, depending on who the cast is, we can offer different workshops. Yes. Michael Faulkner is especially good at leading a Shakespeare workshop.
Yes, he is.
I lead improvisation, I lead auditions, I lead clowning and physical comedy. Mm-hmm. I think you've led auditioning workshops and workshops about the business. So mm-hmm. just depending on who's out there, that's what's available for that cast.
Well, I've led improv workshops before, but I've been asked to teach a couple of improv things in Chicago, and sadly, I'm not only am I not the best improv teacher in Chicago, I'm not the best improv teacher in my own house. You know, yeah. D. Ryan gets those gigs. So so unfortunately, I don't get to do that. I don't get those. The only time I get to do that is when I'm off with the RAC. Well, speaking of improv workshops.
Our ace in the hole is always Mick. Young yeah. Mick Orff.
Well, that's interesting, too, because Mick's background is sort of typical of what we look for when we're auditioning people. He was a trained actor at NYU's Tisch School of the Arts. He worked at the Groundlings. He's done stage combat. He did that great outdoor... I can never remember the name of it. That great outdoor
Blue Jacket.
That's what it is. Blue Jacket. That great outdoor performance festival where he's riding a horse bareback and shooting. And it's like, wow, they don't teach you how to do that in actor training programs.
No, that's you. You got to pick that up on the fly, or it doesn't happen.
Well, and he's got a little bit of musical talent, which is kind of all we require, you know.
He can play like 6-7 instruments.
Yeah, he can.
Yeah.
No, I know, but he's
some of them not very well.
But he's self-taught, I guess was my my point was that he was self-taught. So he downplays his skills.
A lot of times they'll book these workshops 6, 9, 12 months ahead of time, and then we'll get there. We go, well, we only had 2 people sign up, so okay, I guess we won't be doing it. Or sometimes it's 2 people, and you just sit down and talk about the business.
How do you start a workshop typically?
Well, even before I get there, I try to find out what's the age of most of the participants and how many people are there.
Right. Yeah. And the size of the crowd determines what you're going to do with them.
Yeah. Well, how much you have to plan, because if it's a crowd of 30, which is fine for an improvisation workshop, but you don't need as many
games
planned.
Right.
But I kind of have a set thing that I do. Mm-hmm. I'll start with the warm-up just to sort of get people focused and relaxed and, mm-hmm. you know, in the room, as they say.
Yeah.
And then I just start out with some sort of basic concentration games and listening and agreeing and adding on games. And then depending on the skill level, it just, you know, it graduates up from there. And then if it's a clowning and physical comedy workshop, again, I work up, we warm up just mm-hmm. because it's going to be physical.
Yeah.
And then I usually teach them some what I call clown vocabulary, in other words, some physical comedy moves. So I typically will teach them double take and a slap and a trip and maybe a foot stomp or a hair pull. Mm-hmm. And then I'll pair them off and give them 10 or 20 minutes to work up a gag.
Yeah.
And then we look at them and then we work on them. And so, you know, and I say the gag, you know, if you just put in a slap and a trip and a double take, it's not going to be much. But if you have to decide all the things in a regular dramatic scene.
Yeah.
Your who, your what, your where, your why,
yeah.
your objective, your obstacle, your relationship.
Even when you're not talking.
Yeah, well, even more so.
Hi, this is Beth Kennedy with Troubadour Theatre Company, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This week I'm speaking to you from London, where we are starting rehearsals for our upcoming 12-week tour of Great Britain with the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised, which will also play in London at the Leicester Square Theatre in July 2013. And in the U.S., we'll be performing The Complete World of Sports Abridged in Moorhead, Minnesota, State College, Pennsylvania, and Urbana, Illinois. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. You said something about listening and throwing focus. That's such a key fundamental thing, and I'm not sure it gets as much focus in even training programs as as it should. I just worked with some high school kids that were doing a production of The Complete Works of William Shakespeare, abridged, and getting them to listen to what the other person is saying, getting to throw the focus to what the other person is saying, and also getting them to understand what should I be doing when it's not my line.
Yes.
I mean, these are freshmen and sophomores.
Yeah. Stand still and look at the person who's talking.
Right. Well, right. Yeah. Yeah. And or and then I went to their first performance. What do I do when they're laughing? You wait. But what do I say? You don't say. You figure out some what would you say, but that you can't say. You know, it's just basic stuff. But it's the kind of thing you don't teach and you can't teach because you're in the rush of rehearsal.
Right.
But just listening to your fellow actors and responding to what that is such a. It's such a fundamental thing, and I don't think it really gets that kind of attention. And it's key. It's certainly key for what we do.
Well, I was just watching Ben Kingsley talk about the skill of acting, and he said, Ben Kingsley says, I'm not an actor. I'm a reactor.
Yeah.
That I just learn the lines, so I don't have to worry about that, and I'm relaxed, and then I just enjoy the company of the people in the room and play with them. And so that's all about really listening.
Yeah.
People go, what do? Well, just listen and pay attention and then react how you would react.
Yeah.
But listening, in acting class, they don't say, it's about, well, what am I going to do? What is my thing? What's my thing? And good acting teachers say you have to listen.
Yeah.
But that's a very small part of what you, and it's a hard thing to teach.
Well, and it's also, but it's about, listening means you're in the scene. It's not just, I say my lines at you, you say your lines at me. You know, you listen to when you're listening to your partner in the scene, you are then both engaged in the scene at the same moment.
Yeah.
And
well, that's our joke when we're doing the shows. Like you're in the scene, and what I hear is blah, 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 my line, blah, 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 my line.
I hear all my cue lines. I mean, really, I'd really, really hear this.
Well, and I just had a friend who said that her daughter wants to go get a BFA in acting.
Mm-hmm.
And I am honestly doing my best to try to dissuade that. If she really wants to go, you can't dissuade a person who really wants to go, and they should go pursue their thing. But I say this all the time to young actors, and when I ran the internship program in New Hampshire, it was part of, I felt it part of, incumbent upon me to do what I can to kick as many of those, drive as many of those people out of the theater industry by the end of the summer. Because if I could do it, that means they're not meant, they shouldn't be in it.
Yeah.
And if I can't, that means good. Okay.
Yeah.
And also just make them work hard so they know what they're doing. But I found that, BFA programs for teens, late teens and early 20s, I just don't care for them because they spend so much time focusing on the craft of theater, they spend a little less time becoming people or studying other things. And I always feel like if you're not interested in politics or history or the world or other cultures or whatever, or literature or anything, movies or sports, it makes you less of an interesting person and therefore less of an interesting actor. And in improv and in all these workshops that we do, what you bring makes you special. So the more you have going on, the more interesting a performer you are.
Yes, I think the more you know about everything, the better performer you are. I mean, we hold audition workshops, and we're trying to get an idea of who the person is. Mm. You know, it's not just, we've said this in other podcasts, it's not just the monologue. It's like we're gonna talk to you. We want to get a sense of who you are, and are you sharp? Are you funny? Are you good to be around? Do you have a big array of knowledge?
Do you have insights about behavior?
Yeah.
You know, are you a listener? And are you fun to hang out with in rehearsal?
Yes, and that can't be taught.
It cannot be taught.
Yes, it's inherited.
You either got it or you ain't.
But speaking of audition workshops, one of the things I say again and again and again, and you just see people, lights go on in people's eyes. We say, we know you're going to be nice to us. Because we're the writers and the directors.
Yeah.
But what we do is we talk to everybody else in the theater, in the audition hall, the people who signed you in, the doorman, say, okay, who was nice and who was a jerk?
Yeah.
Because that's more probably reflective of the way you're going to be on the road.
And we check your Facebook statuses.
Yes. Yeah. Don't say, oh, I was so hammered last night, but somehow I got through the audition.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't have the job.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you just lost the job.
Yeah. It seems so obvious, but we'll just... don't get it. But be nice to everybody because you don't know who's who.
Yeah, yeah. Right. We've said it before. We'll say it again. Talent is about 3 or 4 down the list of what we're looking for.
And if you've seen our shows, you know it to be true.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. If you'd like to book an RSC workshop anywhere in the world except the UK, send an email to info@reducedshakespeare.com. If you'd like to book an RSC workshop in the UK, send an email to Davey, at Newbury, that's with a Y, newburyproductions.co.uk. And then send us your workshop requests via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, improv guru Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Eric Greeling. I hope I pronounced that right. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to the very funny Beth Kennedy from the Troubadour Theater Company in beautiful downtown Toluca Lake, California. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 328/984 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Now, I just got a very important phone call. They want us to come up with an idea for a new children's toy, okay? Right now, the only thing I need for this new children's toy is a name of the toy. Can you tell me what's your name? Charlene, what's the name of the new children's toy that we're going to come up with?
Bob the Builder slash Thomas the...
Bob the Builder slash what?
Thomas the Truck.
Thomas the Truck!
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less.